Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Chase in for Joe Rex Road for the next couple of days. Joe's out conquering new lands. I don't really know what he's doing, but we'll see him back on Monday. A lot of people are angry at Joe this week that he was a little bit more hostile on the text line. The A.J. Brown thing I think has really upset Rex Road.
That's probably the most upset that I have heard Joe Rexroad. It's been an interesting couple of days because Willie Donick was on one yesterday.
He fired up yesterday.
Defending Tannehill. And Rexroad has been mad at the Titans for trading A.J. Brown. I like where we're at. Need more of that. That was good.
It was Willie was fired up yesterday. I was like, man, this is not Coach Willie.
No.
This is Big Willie D yesterday.
So And I know we're gonna get into this, but I get it. You know, I think that having that kind of passion and opinion is a good thing. And so I was glad to hear that from Willie. I didn't agree with everything he said, but for the most part, I get it. And Rex Road, I disagree with. I know you love AJ Brown, and AJ Brown's a heck of a player, but you got to the point where you had to do what you had to do.
So let's get your thoughts on this, because we talked a lot about this yesterday on the show. The comments from Ryan Tannehill saying, I don't think it's my job to mentor Malik Willis, but if he learns from me during the process, all that's great. That's basically what the discussion was yesterday with Tannehill. And look, I saw all this circulating around. Honestly, when I was watching the press conference live, he said that, and I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. Because, and I pointed this out yesterday, this is not a new thing with NFL quarterbacks. And I think some people immediately tune me out when I say this, because they think I'm comparing Ryan Tannehill to Tom Brady and Brett Favre as players. It's not what I'm doing. But the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round to come in and be his replacement. And Brett Favre was like, yeah, that's great. It's not my job to groom Aaron Rodgers to come in here and take my job. It's my job to be the starting quarterback of the Packers and to win games. Tom Brady wanted zero part of mentoring Jimmy G. In fact, actively undermined Jimmy G and got him out of there is what happened in New England. So this is not a new thing with NFL quarterbacks. I think it's really stupid that people are making a big deal out of this, but I know not everybody agrees with that. So what are your thoughts on Tannehill's comments with Malik Willis?
Well, let's set the stage, because, one, I just want to hear Jared ask the question so he can talk about how he asked the question again. But let's set the stage with how this came to be.
Ultimately, probably his goal is to take your job.
I mean, that's part of being in a quarterback room in the same room. You know, we're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
So the interesting part in this, how Jared asked the question was, you know, basically your thoughts on a guy being drafted and his goal is to eventually take your job.
Yep.
There was nothing about mentoring or any of that. Ryan Tannehill went out of his way to say, hey, I'm not here to mentor the guy. So that's why he's, I think, getting beat up for it, because that wasn't really the spirit of the question. It was more of a competition thing. At the same time, I don't have a problem with it. It's not his job to mentor Malik Willis. His job is to compete to be the starting quarterback for the Titans, which there is no quarterback competition. Let's just be very clear here. going into training camp, the only quarterback competition that there might be is for the backup role.
Yep.
It's not for the starting role. This is Ryan Tannehill's team, at least for this year. And guess what? If he goes out and he has that chip on his shoulder like he did when he first got here and he balls out, he's going to be the starting quarterback next year. Like, yep. They're not going to move on from him. They'll figure the contract part out. It's all about performance, though, for Ryan Tannehill. And I actually think this is a good thing. The fact that he's kind of made the heel turn a little bit, that, you know, people are mad at him and, you know, he goes out of his way to say he's not here to mentor a guy, and you got Kurt Warner saying, get in my DMs and I'll come mentor you. Yeah. Like, okay. I don't think that's a bad thing for Tannehill to kind of have that chip and be the quote unquote bad guy now in you know, for Titans fans to look at. I think that could be more of a motivation, but at the end of the day, I don't have an issue.
They're literally talking about this on NFL Network Football right now. That's awesome. Yeah.
I don't have an issue with him saying I'm not here to mentor him, because he's not. That's not his job. And we live in this fantasy world. And I'll go back to something, because one of my favorite moments in my radio career happened in the summer of 2020. I was filling in for Jared with Floyd. And it was in the middle of the pandemic when we had nothing to talk about. We had beat The Last Dance to death, you know, talking about that. And I don't remember exactly how we got on it, but I brought up the whole Vince Steve thing. And I said, you know, I've always wondered, and this is on the air, I was like, I probably should ask you this off the air, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Like, was the plan for you guys to draft Vince and Steve be, you know, Steve still be the starter and Vince learn under Steve? And he said, yeah. And he went through the whole thing of how it all happened. And I do believe that in everybody's mind that's not named Steve McNair, that was the thought, that Steve would be the starter for a couple more years, either a year or a couple more years. And then eventually that he'd pass the baton to Vince, and everybody would be like, yeah, like these two are so close. And maybe Steve would back up Vince. That wasn't going to happen.
No.
Like that's not how this works. And Floyd knew that. Like, Floyd knows competition. Like, it, and I think in his mind, that's what it was going to be. It was going to be competition. There's no, yeah, man, you know, it's like Pecorine and UC Saros. I remember sitting in a room with Pecorine saying, you know, how cool is it that you're able to mentor him? And he kind of looked at me like, yeah, no, that's not what I'm here to do. I got a lot of game left in me, and yep. You're going to have to pry this away from me. And that's basically what happened. So I think it's competition. Competition's a good thing. And, you know, if Malik Willis comes into training camp and tears it up, even though he's not going to win the job, I still think it's Tannehill's job. But if Tannehill feels him breathing down his neck and feels a little pressure, that's not a bad thing.
Well, look, I'm interested to see how Tannehill responds to this anyway. I mean, the whole picture of it. You've got, you know, an average at best regular season last year for him, and then the playoff game is what it is. You throw three picks, and the city has just turned on the guy. And I'm not saying that every Titans fan wants to move on from Ryan Tannehill, but there's no question the way that he's viewed in this city now compared to when they started this season a year ago, it's way different. Like, it's drastically different the way that he's viewed. So I was interested to see how he responds to that anyway. And now you throw in the fact that they've drafted a quarterback that they think can eventually be his replacement. You know, sometimes we see this work a couple of ways. Some people fold to that pressure, and some people rise up and they embrace it and they play better than they ever have. I'm really interested to see how Tannehill responds to that stuff anyway. So as you said, I mean, it's going to be his job this year, unless things just go extremely poorly and go off the rails at some point. And then you're talking about a Titans team that's probably not very good at that point, but it's going to be his job this year. How does he respond to a level of adversity that, you know, people throw out the Miami stuff, and I'm sure that there was obviously a lot of noise on him on that front, but a lot of that was injury related, and the team around him wasn't very good. Like, nobody ever thought that the Dolphins were going to be a Super Bowl contender. This to me is way different, and this is the biggest test of Ryan Tannehill's career, I think, coming in this next year. and how he responds to what was and has been a tumultuous offseason. And one thing I will say about the Malik Willis situation that I think is pretty obvious based on the reaction to this, no matter really what he says as he moves forward here, he is going to be under such a microscope because of the way that he's played on the field. And how does he deal with that heading into next season? That's a big question.
Yeah, and to your point on this, I think that Tannehill is the – in no player, quarterback, or whatever position is ever going to admit this, but I think he is the type that he needs the pressure and the competition behind him. Like, that's just what he needs. You know, he came in here having to prove himself again. He was basically – Miami paid for him to go away.
Yeah.
He was traded here to be the backup, and then eventually he – you know, he has that chip on his shoulder and he takes the job because Mariota couldn't thrive under the pressure. Mariota just proved that he wasn't the guy. And so Tannehill takes over. Well, then he gets comfortable. And then he knows that, or they know that you have Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry's the catalyst for the offense, and things are, the defense gets better and all of that. And so he's not having to put the team on his shoulder. Nobody should be surprised, because if you go back and look at all their success, he didn't have to do a whole lot to be a part of that. And he had great numbers when he did, but in the playoffs when they were winning, it was because of Henry, and it was because of big chunk plays. So, I go back to my original point. I don't think he's here to mentor him. That's not his job. But I think the pressure can be a good thing for Tannehill.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, 615-737-1025. Scott in Hopkinsville, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think it's totally unfair to say that, you know, he's pulling a Chris Chandler. And that's exactly what Chris Chandler did to Steve McNair. He did try to make his life hell. He did look at him as the enemy, and he didn't help him one bit. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is taking that tone at all with Malik Willis. So I completely think that is an unfair thing to take that one statement out of 17 minutes and 19 seconds of question and answers. And that was towards the end when, look, I've been up there, you have too, in a Q&A. You get fatigued. All right, your brain may not be working at full power, and you may not exactly be able to say, look, if I say I'm not going to mentor him, that's where the media is going to pounce, and they're going to be all over me for that. If you're that perfect and you can answer every single question for 17 minutes perfectly, then good on you. Good on you. I have yet to see somebody do that. If you're more perfect than he is there, congratulations. So that is ridiculous to me that he's getting ripped for that.
Willie D bringing it yesterday on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Crispy would be proud.
Fired Up Willie is my favorite Willie.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Strong stuff yesterday on Darren, Donick, and Chase, discussing the Ryan Tannehill situation with Malik Willis. Is it Ryan Tannehill's job to mentor Malik Willis? There's all sorts of different opinions on that. We'll take yours on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Scott from Hopkinsville, who's been waiting patiently. Scott, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning. Willie's not going to like my answer. You got to be smart enough not to say something controversial when the question that was asked had absolutely nothing to do with mentoring. If he had said, we're in the same quarterback room, it's a competition, we're watching the same film, we're doing the same drills, but at the end of the day, he's a Titan, I'm a Titan, and we're out here to win football games, and left it at that, he would have been perfect. Nobody would be talking about anything except how good the press conference was, and he owned up to some stuff, and, you know, he's the one that brought this on himself with the bonehead answer.
Hey, thanks for the call, Scott. We appreciate it.
Okay.
I mean, that part of it's interesting because I've heard that thrown out there in terms of, all right, it's not the question that was asked. If Tannehill just doesn't say that, then he's fine as he moves forward. What do you think of that?
I think it's an interesting angle because, like, I'm not going to agree with Willie on that he's fatigued at the end of a press conference, and that was calculated. That was, you know, he knew that there was going into it, he knew there was going to be some sort of question about Malik Willis and him. He knew that was going to happen. And like I said, he did go out of his way to say, I'm not here to mentor Malik Willis. So it is interesting of why. The why is going to be lingering out there for a while of why even bring that up. Did you just bring it up because you knew it was going to come up eventually, so you just wanted to squash that right away? Because, again, I think we live in this world of, you know, the guy supposed to mentor the next guy, and quite frankly, that's BS.
I'm not
going to mentor you. You're not going to mentor me. Like, we're in to do this, you know, that you got to be in it for yourself for a while. And so now, you know, working with people along the way, if there's something that, and he even said this, if there's something that he can learn from me by watching me or being around me, you know, in the quarterback room, then okay. And that's how you do it. Like, that's how you pay attention. Or you do pay attention, and that's how you learn things.
Well, and I've heard this thrown out there too, which just drives me crazy, is, well, quarterbacks, sometimes they're assigned to mentor young players. Well, yeah, that's true. They're not paid $38 million to mentor young players. Like, Ryan Tannehill's 33 years old. Ryan Tannehill's not worried about the next guy right now. He's worried about, can I extend my career as a starting quarterback in the NFL, whether that's here with the Titans or whether that's somewhere else. If Tannehill's good next year, he will be a starter in 2023. It may not be here. I don't know. But it will be somewhere else if he's good next year. So Tannehill's not worried about mentoring the next guy. He still feels like he's got several good years left of football in him. I also thought one thing pretty interesting, too, that because of the Malik Willis comments about not being mentored, kind of didn't get talked about a lot yesterday. It was interesting to me that Tannehill, who doesn't really say a whole lot at press conferences, kind of offered up in the press conference that, yeah, John Robinson didn't tell me about that pick. Didn't consult me about the
Malik Willis pick. It's not John Robinson's
job. Which
is
not his
job.
Look, I agree. It's not his job to tell you that, and I don't fault John Robinson for doing that. But I found that part of it interesting, too, of Tannehill wanted to make it sure that it was known that, yeah, they didn't consult me about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's not your job as a GM to consult the starter on draft picks. Now, if you feel necessary, if there's a, you know, like I go back to Green Bay, and because Rodgers had been there for so long and done so much for the franchise, like, okay, maybe make the phone call. Hey, just so you know, we're going to take a quarterback in the first round. Like, you don't have to explain why. But again, you're not required to do that. That shouldn't be expected. That's up to you. You know, it's like Floyd would have called Steve and said, hey, we're going to take Vince, you know, just so you know. Like, I wanted you to hear it from me. But that's not required by any means. But I don't know. And this is going to be something that we're going to beat to death. I mean, people are already sick of talking about it. But he made it a story when he said, I'm not here to mentor Malik Willis.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Bill from Clarksville. Bill, what's going on? Thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Crazy Billy here, longtime PSL owner. Tannehill mentioned that he was in a real dark place after the playoffs. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, this PSL owner is in a real dark place from the last losses on our playoffs. And I worked a long time. I'm retired now at Corporate America. And if you're not a team player, you're not mentoring the young ones, you're not part of the machine. And for him to have that arrogance, very, very disappointing from the fan base. I've talked to multiple of my friends who go to the game. He just needs to take the mirror out from under his face and look at the team. And I hope he improves. I hope he makes us eat our words. That would be a great situation. I hope he makes $100 million every year. But right now his performance is subpar, and that comment just was inappropriate. And hey, I appreciate y'all. Y'all doing a great job. Keep hammering down. Go Titans.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. I was going to ask him this, but I'll ask the rhetorical question. If you're a Titans fan, what do you want Ryan Tannehill to focus on? Mentoring Malik Willis or getting better at his own game? Because, again, he's going to be your starting quarterback this season.
Yes.
The only thing that's going to change that, in my mind, is if he gets hurt or if it's just unbearable and the rest of the team sucks and you're like, you know what, let's just see what the kid has.
Well, and again, I said this yesterday, but I think people are acting like Tannehill is just going to, like Malik Willis is going to be walking in the door and Tannehill is just going to shut it right in his face. He's not going to talk to Malik Willis. He's not going to be worried about Malik Willis, not going to be a good teammate to Malik Willis. And I just don't buy that. I mean, I guess maybe that could happen, but I just don't buy that that's going to be the case. That's from everything we know about Ryan Tannehill and from what people say about him, that's not what it's like. I mean, to me, people are getting way too hung up on the word mentor. Like, the Titans just drafted a running back in the fourth round, Hassan Haskins out of Michigan. I like the pick. I like everything about it. Do you think that Derrick Henry is going to spend some time this year mentoring Hassan Haskins, or is he going to be trying to get ready for a season and trying to get back to being a 2,000-yard rusher? What do you think Derrick Henry's more worried about this year? Preparing maybe the running back of the future for the Titans or running for 2,000 yards this year and getting back and being healthy?
Running for
2,000
Because
I think I may know the answer to that.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. You want a mentor? You know how you mentor? You turn, you look at it and go, hey, watch this.
That's how this is done.
This is how you do it.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that Derrick Henry, you know, watching Hard Knocks last year, there was the running back that I forget his name that was trying to make the team. And one thing that I thought was cool and interesting was they kept showing Zeke, you know, talking to him during practice and saying, okay, watch me run this go up through the hole here. Watch how I do it. Watch where I cut. That's mentoring. Now, he's teaching him how to play the running back position in the National Football League. I think Derek will do that. I think
Tannehill will do that.
I think Tannehill will do that too. I think there will be conversations between Malik Willis, Logan Woodside, and Ryan Tannehill of, okay, during a preseason game, he goes, hey, you made this throw. This is what I would have done. You know, NWI was over here, but maybe you had a better option over here. That's quarterbacks talking. And you can call that mentoring. That's basically what it is. But he's also not – you know, in a Titans fan sense of, you know, to the caller's point of mentoring, of you're supposed to basically prepare the guy to take your job. No. Like, if that's the case, if Ryan Tannehill got up there and said, yeah, I'm going to prepare him to be the starter for this football team next year, then I don't want Ryan Tannehill on the team.
No. That's
just ridiculous.
That's why I think people are getting way too hung up on that word, and this has been overblown so much. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get David Beauclair's thoughts from SI.com on this coming up next. The Ryan Tannehill situation and how the Titans look post-draft as well. Make sure you join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up now at thegamenashville.com/golf. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, David, there's been a lot of discussion the last couple of days about Ryan Tannehill and his press conference, and specifically his comments on Malik Willis, saying, quote, I don't think it's my job to mentor him. What do you make of those comments by Tannehill, and what do you make of the story that has turned into in the aftermath?
Yeah, I'm not at all surprised at the story it's turned into. Right there in the moment when he said it, I thought, oh goodness, here we go. And it was kind of surprising because, you know, Ryan Tannehill is good at press conferences from the standpoint that, you know, he handles himself well. He understands why he needs to do them. He usually is, in fact, almost always is prepared for the questions that are coming, and he answers the questions in a way that is not insulting to reporters, but he doesn't serve up much of anything terribly interesting either. So that was a little bit out of character in that, you know, it was the wrong thing to say. I think, you know, as I've thought about it and kind of gone deeper, it's a guy who's I think it was a sort of a natural, honest reaction from a guy who knows now that his days are numbered, and possibly numbered a little too short, if you will. Like, to use a couple of recent examples, like in 2020, Jarrell Casey had to know after what he saw late in the 2019 season, like, okay, it's Jeffrey Simmons' time, right? Like, in his heart of hearts, he knew that Jeffrey Simmons was better than him and was at that point and was gonna have to take his job, whatever. Last year, it was probably the same way with Kenny Vaccaro and Amani Hooker. You know, Amani Hooker had shown enough that Kenny Vaccaro had to know. Quarterback is always such a different situation, and I think Ryan Tannehill is concerned that he's going to lose the job at a point that, you know, maybe it when it's not exactly time. Like, Tannehill could throw for, you know, 4,500 yards and 38 touchdowns against just 6 interceptions this year and play well in the playoffs. And even if the Titans, you know, and the Titans still maybe don't win the Super Bowl, whatever, they're likely to go and cut him anyway. So I think what he was sort of saying is, the Titans are going to give the job to Malik Willis whenever they want to give the job to Malik Willis. It doesn't matter if I help him, if not. So I'm just going to do my job. He can do his job, and we'll be there. And I think that's probably a difficult thing for a guy in Tannehill's position to deal with, because this is clearly the best professional situation he has had in his career.
David, I mean, along these lines, you know, covering this team and covering the league as long as you have, that it's not easy to find, let alone one franchise quarterback, but when that time is up, to go to the next guy. I mean, we were talking earlier of, you know, it would have been nice if it had been Steve McNair and they draft Vince Young and he backs up Mac for a couple of years, and then there's that passing of the torch, and then it goes to Vince Young. It doesn't work that way usually. Unless you're the Indianapolis Colts and you can hit on Peyton Manning and then Andrew Luck. But the Titans, to me, are in a good situation. We haven't seen Malik Willis take one snap in the National Football League yet, but if Tannehill can go out there and improve from last year, prove that he can still be the starter, and then Malik can hold the clipboard for a couple of years, I think that's the perfect scenario for them. Like you said, then they decide when they want to go ahead and anoint him the starter.
Yeah, I think, though, Chase, that the salary cap situation, this is a team that's done the salary cap dance for a couple of off seasons now, and where I think Ryan Tannehill's fear comes in, you know, he's under contract for 2 more years, but the team can get some pretty significant salary cap relief if they cut him next off season, and they, then they can get out of a little bit of this cycle of, we got to renegotiate guys, or we got to cut a bunch of veteran guys, or, you know, that sort of thing. And that's where I think the fear comes from. And of course, quarterback is a different situation too. You can go back a little farther in this team's history to 2012. And, you know, Jake Locker was not a better quarterback than Matt Hasselbeck at the moment this team said, you know, we're going to go with Jake Locker as our starter. But there is the feeling that guy needs to play, and it's not like you can put him in just third down packages or whatever. You know, you got to throw your quarterback sort of into the deep end, and I think with a guy like Malik Willis, I would assume that's what Tannehill's thinking the Titans are going to do at some point, and I would assume that's probably what the Titans are thinking too. The difference here, of course, is compared to Marcus Mariota, for example. The Titans had Mariota for 5 years under their control, right? They exercised the fifth year option and then finally decided after 2019 to move on from him. But with Malik Willis as a third round pick, they're only going to have him for 4 years. So if you wait 2 years before you make that move. Now you've only got him for 2 years, which I guess can be a long time in the NFL, but I think they're going to be more inclined to try and do it after this season.
David Beauclair from SI.com home with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. So, David, it's hard to believe a lot's happened in the last week, but it's a week ago today. It's the first round of the draft, and A.J. Brown gets shipped off to the Philadelphia Eagles. What did you make of that move? And now in the aftermath of it, with the draft class complete, how do you view the Titans in the AFC South right now?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You take A.J. Brown off of this team, there's no way you can say the Titans are better now than they were at this same time last Thursday. You know, they obviously have a lot of work to do. They have pieces in place. They have a plan. But the way I look at the Titans is this, Robbie, particularly, you know, the defense is pretty much the same as it was. You're hoping guys are a little bit better, or say in Bud Dupree's case, a whole lot better because of health. And then you're, that unit can be really solid. But where things are drastically different to me is on offense, because who scares you right now? You know, Derrick Henry, the thought of Derrick Henry scares you, for example. But if Derrick Henry is diminished by that foot injury and he's much closer to ordinary than we've ever seen him this year, that, you know, that changes things in terms of how defenses react to him. A.J. Brown was a guy who scared the life out of defenses, and they reacted to him. Even such as he was last year, Julio Jones was a guy who scared you when he was on the field because you knew the things he could potentially do. The year before, Jonnu Smith scared you a little bit because of what he was capable with the ball in his hands. You look at this team right now, who scares you other than, you know, maybe if Derrick Henry is back to normal? But, you know, like Robert Woods, for example, even if he's fully healthy and everything, he's a good player, a fine NFL pro and all that. But does he scare you? Does he make defenses go, oh, my God, we've got to really account for this guy when he's out there? Same thing with Austin Hooper. You know, put up some good numbers in Atlanta, good red zone guy, but is he a guy that you're going to adjust your defense for? I don't think so. And that's going to be a real, real challenge for Ryan Tannehill this year in particular, because we've all wondered to what degree has he benefited from the fact that defenses are so worried about Derrick Henry that everybody else is, you know, his receivers are largely manned up on the outside, or how much has he benefited from the fact that everybody's role was rolling coverage to A.J. Brown last year, and that made defenses easy to sort out. It's going to be a lot more difficult for him this year. And, you know, if Treylon Burks it takes a while to sort of adjust to the NFL, and let's face it, he's in a terrible situation because everything he does is going to be compared to A.J. Brown, and that's, that's a very high bar for anyone to answer. I think it could be a bit of a rough go for this offense this year.
We're talking to David Beauclair, SI.com. So I think that's interesting that you say that, because it's, and rightfully so, because of the pieces that they've lost. But one person in particular that I'm curious about is Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Do you think that he is what he is at this point, or because of the situation that they're in, and he, at least early on, is probably going to get more opportunities than maybe he has in the past, do you think that there could be another level to him? I'm not saying that he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver and he's A.J. Brown or Julio Jones, but do you think that there's another gear for NWI?
Athletically, Chase, I don't think there is. I mean, there's a reason he was an undrafted free agent, right? And you, if you're the Titans, you love him. You know, he's exceeded probably all expectations, a guy who could play all three positions. If he gets more opportunity, his numbers will go up, but it's the same sort of thing. I don't think you'll see him as a guy who's taken a 7-yard slant and turning it into an 80-yard touchdown by breaking two tackles and making a third guy miss along the way. I just don't see that from him. And he's actually a guy, I wrote a piece yesterday, you know, I think he's one of the veterans who was sort of most impacted by what happened in the draft. You know, I think going into the draft, he was probably a guy who thought he was going to have a pretty clear-cut role going into this year, rather than be the guy that you would fill in at every particular spot. But now you've got Burks and Brown's spot. You've drafted a true slot receiver type in Kyle Phillips, and then you've got Woods on the other side, and there, you know, there's Nick Westbrook-Ikhina right back where he's been, which is the guy that, you know, will you drop in at any particular spot where you need him if somebody's hurt or needs a, you know, needs a rest or whatever it is. And I think I think that's going to be kind of his lot in life with this team right now, and it probably is tied to the fact that by NFL terms he's a much more ordinary athlete than a lot of other guys out there.
David, it certainly has not been a boring week around here. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
No, it has not. You guys have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, this time with Chase McCabe.
I'm ready.
Looking forward to that one coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Orders, red, white, and blue. With the Tennessee Oilers, gonna get all over you.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase McCabe in Joe's chair today. Little Tennessee Oilers theme song with Ronnie Dunn coming us back in here. I like that. By the way, we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry, live here from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Every time this song comes on, Chase, I get fired up.
I do too. This was the jam back in the day.
Yeah.
And then he redid it with the Tennessee Titans,
It is not the same. Chase McCabe, your rant of the day. I turn things over to you.
Yes, sir. Okay, and what I'm going to need in this rant is I'm going to need you, Robbie, and you, Michelle, to decide who I should really be mad at.
Okay.
Oh, we got you.
Because I could see some gray area. So, like a lot of people, during the pandemic, I really started utilizing the Uber Eats and DoorDash, and so now I'm just lazy, and you know I use it all the time. For those of you wondering, I can cook. I do enjoy cooking. I don't enjoy cleaning, so I choose not to.
Amen.
And being the single bachelor that I am, I utilize the DoorDash, Uber Eats services, Postmates quite a bit. All right. So the thing that drives me nuts, though, is when I use these services and I go and it's like I get the notification, hey, your food's here. And I go to the door, and I have at my house, I have the regular door, and then I have a storm door, and the food's sitting right in front of the door. And I can't open the door. I have to basically knock over my food to get the door open. And I'm like, why? Like, for a long time, I would just get pissed because it's like, why do you think this is a good idea? Like, you clearly see that there's a door there. And you can tell that it's going to open to the outside. So why do you set the food in front of it? And then the other night I had an epiphany because I realized maybe why this happens.
Okay.
And this is where you two will come in. I do have a tendency to forget to turn on the front porch light. So, it's dark. And I realized this when I flipped the switch on. I'm like, and it's sitting in front of the door, and I go, is this a situation where either they can't see and they just set it down in front of the door because they can't tell if it opens from the inside or the outside? Or are they just mad at me because I didn't turn the light on?
Well, it could be.
And so they're doing this on purpose. Which, if that's the case, then I should be mad at myself because again, in my laziness of ordering food, I should walk in and go and turn on the light. And that would make this process much easier for them. So it is frustrating because I've thought about this because it has happened in the daytime where it's sitting in front of the door. So then I have every right to be mad.
Yeah, they can see then.
So to use the DDC who's on, you know, who just made the list. Am I on the list or are the delivery drivers on the list? Who should I really be ranting?
Well, look, I think it should be common sense to not put it directly in front of the door because, as you said, I mean, depending on what's in there, I mean, there are some things that you can knock over and it's really not going to be that big of a deal. But there are some things you knock over and then all of a sudden you open up the plastic, you know, container that it's in and it all comes out and it's all ruined at that point. So my advice would be, just generally speaking, as a delivery driver, don't put it in front of the door. Now, I have a little bit more sympathy if it's nighttime and they can't see. That one's on you. I'd probably turn the light on. Yeah. But the daytime part of this, like, just don't put it in front of the door. Put it to the side where you can open the door, you can grab it. There's no damage done at that point, and it's all good.
There was one.
I didn't know that this was a problem. Like, when they bring it to my house, it's never in front of the door.
Yeah, it's a big problem. And there was one time that, like, I didn't see, and I was, you know, I opened the door, and there I had ordered a drink, too, and I knocked the drink everywhere because it was sitting in front of the door. So you can understand that I was a little irritated,
okay,
to say the least. Michelle, your thoughts.
So I'm laughing over here because I'm just picturing myself being an Uber Eats driver, a DoorDash driver, and, you know, doing my job, right? Okay, I got the food. I'm just going to place it right in front of the door. I never knew this was an issue. And here I am thinking, oh, I'd be a driver and I'd probably be the one just, oh, I'm just going to put it right in front there for them, not even thinking about which way the door swings out or in. And I never realized this was a problem. But listen, you know what's more of a problem? When you're in an apartment complex and the Uber Eats driver can't find you and you're searching all around the building. So at least you're in a house. But if you knock it over, that kind of stinks. I think you're half on the list, Chase, and they're half on the list.
Yeah, because I get that, like, apartment complexes, the door is going to open in. So it's fine to set it in front of the door. Most people nowadays, I don't know if, like, because I'm in my grandparents' old house. So it's one of those storm doors that, like, you're not getting in. Like, no. It's metal, but it opens to the outside. So that's
a storm door, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. So it's like a screened in door would do the same thing. So I think there's got to be some common sense on both sides. I admit I need to turn the light on. That needs to happen.
Or in the little app, you can write, hey, put to the left of the door, maybe.
Or leave on stair.
But see, like, again, like, I'm having to get into the common sense department.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, like, there's some things
you shouldn't have to say.
But I mean, in what I've noticed in 2022 is I think we have to teach people common sense.
There's a lack of that.
Maybe put a note on your door.
Do not place food in front of this door. Yeah. Mark from Clarksville on the text line says, OMG, this is amazing. My wife and I have talked about this. We don't understand why they do that. It's not that hard to know that you should move the food to the side of the door. It happens all the time, and if you get a drink, it's going to spill. This is a great rant. Blame the delivery drivers. Use common sense. This is coming from Mark from Clarksville on the text line.
LLD from McMinnville was mad at me. Why is your door opening outward? That's not normal. And then he realized it was a storm door.
Wes in Clarksville texting in says, put a small table so they can just put food on
there
it.
There is a table.
Just get a table and put it right in front of the door.
I didn't even mention that. There is a table.
Oh, well,
there's a table
out there.
Just
put it on the table.
Put it on the table.
And some do that. That does happen sometimes. But, yeah.
Better give them five stars.
And Mark points this out on the text line, and I've always kind of wondered this too, because there have been times, and this is very first world problems of me, I understand that, but there have been times where, like, I'll write something in the comments about, hey, we'll be around back, so just do that or whatever. And I think I probably got like a 25% success rate when I put something in the comments that whatever I've told them actually takes place. So I'm kind of convinced that most people just don't read the comments anyway.
No, I don't think they do.
Well, you're also paying so much for the delivery, so please read them.
Put a milk crate outside and make it a designated area for your deliveries. That's not a bad idea.
Hey. Kathy on the text line says, don't most of these services have delivery notes? Have you tried mentioning not to put it directly in front of the door? There's a lot of people all over you for not putting this in the comment section. Maybe that's what the first step for you.
I knew that somehow this would be my fault. And I knew Kathy would blame me. Thank you, Kathy.
Dennis says, it's tough being lazy these days with a nice little
really is
emoji face after. It's good stuff. Chase, I enjoyed that.
That was good.
So did I. Good job, Chase.
Thank you very much.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away, a family four-pack of tickets to the Franklin Rodeo at the Williamson County Ag Expo Park coming up on Thursday, May 19th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 for a four-pack of tickets to the Franklin Rodeo at the Williamson County Ag Expo Park coming up on Thursday, May 19th, 615-737-1025. 1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. How do you feel about this draft class, the latest draft class that John Robinson has put together? We'll get Chase's thoughts on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.